Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Coming your way this hour on the show in 20 minutes, Buck Belue. He was the starting quarterback on the last Georgia National Championship game in 1980. He's going to join us coming up here in 20 minutes from now to talk about the Bulldogs wearing the crown and hoisting the trophy one more time. Also in 40 minutes, Charles Davis is going to join us, NFL on CBS analyst. He's got the call of Bills and Patriots on Saturday night on CBS from Buffalo. So we'll talk about that game. And on that front, weather could be a situation between the Bills and Patriots in Buffalo. As you might imagine, there's never a nice January day in Western New York. But particularly this one on Saturday night, by the time things kick off after 8 o'clock Eastern time, it's going to be in the single digits temperature-wise. And there are some forecasts and models that see a snowstorm coming. So what does this mean for the game? Well, I'll tell you. The worse the weather is, the better the Patriots' odds are. The same way a month ago on that Monday night, they went to Buffalo and won a football game by throwing three passes. The Patriots have a power ground game and a solid defense and a Hall of Fame coach. If you're going to draw up a tale of the tape and a way for the Patriots to muddy the waters and even the playing field, bad weather, taking passing out of the equation, is it? Josh Allen is a far superior passer to Mac Jones. Josh Allen is a far superior athlete to Mac Jones. The passing game of the Bills is their strength, much more than running the football. So if you can throw the football effectively, the Bills are going to win this football game. But that's easier said than done on a night that could dip into 4 degrees and have snow in the forecast. So that's a real issue. Look, I think the one good thing if you're a Bills fan is that the Bills must have learned their lesson. A little bit like the Bulldogs against the Tide playing that SEC title game. Clearly what happened in that Monday nighter was the Bills got twisted around. They weren't ready for 97% of the plays to be a run play. They weren't prepared for a night where Josh Allen's throws were off the mark all night long. And they weren't prepared to trail in a game like this and have to chase it knowing that the Bills can just run the football, or I should say the Patriots could just run the football and basically run out the clock. Once they got back to Foxborough a couple of weeks later, the real Bills showed up. Allen had perhaps his best football game as a pro. He was wonderful on third and fourth down conversions. The play calling was crisp. It was creative. It was solid. Allen executed it all. The defense was very good, much more ready for the run game of the Patriots. And the fact that the Bills could move the football offensively that day in Foxborough meant that the Patriots had to also try to do the same thing and not just sit on the football. And once it became Mac versus Josh Allen, well, guess what? Advantage Josh Allen. So the Bills having that experience of having played the Patriots already, I think will help them. But look, if it's 25 degree or 25 mile an hour winds, 4 degree weather, and there's snow or ice in the forecast, it's going to be really hard for Josh Allen to throw the football. And if it's really hard, then that evens the playing field. Weather is absolutely a factor here. And weather can undercut what the Bills are capable of doing. But the good news is for the Bills, they've already lived this reality earlier this season. And they've come back to redeem themselves after that reality. So there's not a huge excuse for the Bills to lose this football game that way, but it's certainly in play. Look, it's possible that they go out there, it's frigid, there's snow flurries, you can't throw the football. Allen tries to grip the football, it slips out, it's hard for receivers to catch the ball, all of that type of stuff, and it turns into a run game, and the Patriots advantage Pats. On a game where you've got to run the football 75% of the time, advantage Pats. Here is the flip. If that happens, the Bills need to have an RPO game plan where Josh Allen uses his legs. It was something that for some reason they ignored when they played in Buffalo on that Monday night. The best running back for the Bills is actually Josh Allen. He's huge, he's strong, he's fast, he's agile, and he can keep you off guard if you run an RPO and you've got to guard both the run and the pass every time he has the football. If it happens and it's frigid and snowy and miserable, the Bills have to do that. I would hope they learn their lesson. I would hope by virtue of beating the Patriots the way that they did in Foxborough with the use of the legs of Allen, you would adjust. We'll see. But obviously, weather being a factor in that game is A, not great news for the Bills. B, exactly what CBS wants. When there's weather in a game, ratings go up. They always put the Patriots on that Saturday night game, divisional round weekend. They love cold. They love night. They love snow. They love elements. It makes for great theater. And the Patriots actually didn't mind that as well because it meant that they got an extra day to prepare for their opponent who would play on Sundays. Okay, so we've had an incident here on the show. It's time to work through this. We've come into this year in good spirits. We've come into this year working together well. I want to stay on that track. I want to make sure we stay positive and unified here. Mraz has given us his fitness journal, which we have, of course, nicknamed the Fat Journal. Been trying to not say the F word with much aggression. Mraz appreciates that. But it is a fitness journal. Mraz is writing down all the things that he eats, keeping himself honest. He's allowing us to read it on the air. In doing so, we've had different people read the journal. Tiki Barber blew it out of the water on Friday, became an instantaneous candidate for the number one on the 12 DAs of Christmas.
I got a candidate for the 12 DAs, okay?
Jacob Wilkins did it on Monday. We've had a series of people lined up to do it. Yesterday, we had the MSG PA guy do it. We've had everybody here inside the studio walls do it. Bilotti did one. I did one. Bogues did one. We had somebody lined up today. Now, we had a text thread going yesterday with Mraz on it, and we were working through possibilities because our first choice for today came down under the weather, and his voice was shot. And so Cap and everybody was pitching names. And one of the names that came up was a guy who has been at odds with Mraz before. You've heard us talk about him. His name is Paul Dottino. He's a New York Giants reporter. He works on their radio broadcasts. He has gone on Boomer and Geo's show and said that, why does Mraz have a podcast? I should have a podcast. Which is kind of ironic because everybody has a podcast. I mean, not exactly all that selective these days. But he said that Mraz was just a hot dog, that he was the steak. And so they've been at odds, okay? Now, yesterday, Kat suggested Paul Dottino as one of the readers. And Bogus said, I vote for Dottino. And I said, could you even imagine? Like, he'd hate reading every line of this. And Pete said, Dottino, I can work on that. And I was like, oh, wow, you've got a connection there? And so we were going back and forth on this. And Bilotti finally said at 4:15 in the afternoon, hey, we got to decide on this so I can work on it. Let's decide so I can start. And I said, you know what? Try for Dottino, and then let's have a backup. I don't want to tell you who the backup is in case we end up using him again. But I said, use him as a fallback in case Dottino can't do it, and keep the rest of these suggestions in the hopper. They're all good. Bilotti says, okay, I'm on it. In this text thread, Mraz actually responds, so we know that he's paying attention to it. Going to break two breaks ago, we were set up to do the dramatic reading, and I said, do we have Paul ready? And that tipped off Mraz that it was Paul Dottino, and Paul melted down. I'm sorry, Mraz melted down over Paul, yelling, screaming, you guys jerked me around, you know, you're doing this, that, and the other thing, he hates my guts, this, that, and he really was very emotional. Pete was laughing for most of this, and then finally threw up his hands and said, look, we're not playing it now. I'm not going to play it and have you yell at me for this. So that's where you're at, Pete, where you're like, it's not worth the problem at this point.
Well, I mean, he's on the chain. He is the guy in charge of the program. So that's what bothers me. We went and we chased this down, and I talked to Paul, I thought it was something that would be like an olive branch. Or something comedy, something funny that we could all laugh at, and that's it. We move on from that whole
because we've never had Paul on the show before.
And Paul is a friend of mine from my Giants days when I did Giants work. So you know, I was talking to him, and you know, he was concerned. He didn't want to have a big matchup, back and forth with Sean. He didn't want to do that. So yeah, that was an issue that I needed to talk to him about. So I thought it was in good faith.
And so you had actually worked it out because he had concerns and you thought it was in good faith and good spirits and you had talked him down and you had recorded it and produced it and was ready to go.
Yeah, all ready to go and in good faith.
And you're frustrated because...
I'm frustrated because I for a lot of things, I'm frustrated. But I feel like, I'm working on this thing. I don't have to. And we're not paying attention. We got to pay attention to things like this.
Right, because we didn't do it behind Mraz's back. We did it with him thinking that he was involved in the decision.
Right, right. I mean, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste my time on things like this.
So what happened, Mraz? I mean, you were on the text thread.
Yeah, so I could just tell you real briefly, because not all of us have iPhones, I saw the emphasize Paul Dottino thing from you and you writing, imagine he'd hate every line. That was actually the last thing I saw before I saw Kaplan suggest somebody else that would be really funny, and I wrote ha-ha to that. I was under the impression you guys were joking about Paul Dottino, and I missed the confirmation. Then you guys had a bunch of other messages about it that, in the midst of just being a very busy day at my house, I totally didn't see those messages until Joe Judge got fired, and Bogus said, you did it, Sean, Judge out. And I responded, ha-ha, to that, because it was unbelievable at the time that unfolded. And I missed this whole bulk of trying for him, which is on me. And if I was on your guys' end and I saw me respond to Haas, I would totally think I was okay with it and for it. And if I was Pete in Pete's shoes and I busted my hump and then even had to talk somebody into it, I would feel like a totally in a bad mood that I busted my ass and did all this work. And it didn't pay out. So I am completely in favor of playing it. I need to be the bigger man here. And I know I'll laugh because I always laugh. I was frustrated at first because I thought I was blindsided. And I see now why it would look like I was not.
Because I actually texted to the entire thread, try for Dottino and use our backup as a fallback. Keep the rest of the guys in the hopper. They're good suggestions. And Bilotti said, okay, I'm on it. You missed all of that.
I missed all of that. So, because what happened was, again, I had a lot going on, this, that, and the other thing.
Your daughter has the lamp. She's holding Eli hostage.
Nobody needs to hear my song and dance. It was a hectic day at my house yesterday. But when Joe Judge got fired, as you can imagine, with me being Jolly Blue Giant, I looked down at my phone and I had like 150 text messages from like a million threads. Judge out, this, that, and the other thing. So when I looked down, the one I saw on Judge Out with us, I didn't realize that of all of those text messages I got, our thread actually had like 12 new messages, and all I saw was the two from Bogus that said, Sean, you did it, Judge Out. And I responded to that while completely missing that part of it. That's all. It was just bad timing, miscommunication, my head not in the right space, so I totally own that.
Okay, so you didn't want it played. You don't like Paul. You're worried that Paul is going to have something over you because he's reading your intimate thoughts in your fitness journal, and that was your sensitive spot.
And upon thinking about it, I realized two things. I need to calm down with intimate thoughts. They are what I'm eating, and I'm owning this, and it's public every day. Number two, in talking with Pete's explanation, I actually feel better that Paul was a bit reserved about it and then looked at it as a bit of an olive branch. That actually makes me feel better about his reading, and I need to calm down.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like we got resolution here. We have Buck Ballew coming up, so why don't we hold off on playing it so that we're on time for our two guests here this hour. But it sounds like we will end up playing this when we have a free moment in the show this morning. The dramatic reading of Meraz's fitness journal from yesterday done by Paul Dottino, Giants reporter, who has called Meraz a hot dog and himself a steak. And we thought it would be funny, but it blew up in our faces a little bit. So when we come back, we'll talk national championship with the last quarterback to do this for the 1980 Bulldogs, Buck Ballew, next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, show Mr. Mandaloria.
Mr. Mandaloria.
Mr. Mandaloria.
Yeah. D.A. 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 K.A.
It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. Glad you're with us. Stream us using the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app, and you can listen to the show on your phone each and every morning. The Georgia Bulldogs are national champs, and very few guys know how that feels because it's been 41 years since it happened in 1980. The starting quarterback of those Georgia Bulldogs was Buck Ballew, and he's been a mainstay on the Atlanta airwaves for more than 20 years on 680 The Fan. Joining us this morning on the show is Buck. Buck, good morning. How you doing?
DA, what's going on, man?
It's great to talk to you. It's great to have you on the show. What was your feeling, your emotion, like watching the championship game the other night?
Well, it was like a proud father. You know, the son did well. Dogs are back on top. It's been way too long. And, you know, I was thinking about this fan base, too. It's one of the more passionate college football fan bases in the country. And they are sick. They were sick and tired of hearing all this from the Tennessee man, the LSU man, the Alabama man, Auburn, Florida. They've all won national championships since we won it back in 80. So this fan base, just so happy for them. They don't have to take this kind of static from these other programs anymore.
I had heard somebody describe Georgia as a sleeping giant when Kirby Smart took it over, and I felt like that wasn't a fair representation, that they weren't sleeping. They were always a giant. It was just that they couldn't get over that final hump. They've had some great teams, 10, 11 win seasons, but then Kirby took over, and they got to a national championship game in year number two. So what did Kirby do to unlock the truest potential of the program?
Yeah, I believe that was Nick Saban that said that when Kirby took the job, or maybe before he took the job. But there was always some area along the way that, you know, Georgia was coming up short in, whether it was, you know, recruiting defensive linemen, offensive linemen, the quarterback. I mean, there always seemed to say that the coaching staff, there was always some little problem. But I go back to Kirby's opening day press conference at Georgia when they introduced Kirby, and I was sitting there in the congregation listening to what he had to say. And one of the reporters asked Kirby, said, you know, what area will you be involved in the program? And Kirby said, I'll be involved in every single aspect of the program, which, you know, a little bit different. I wasn't expecting that. But he is, I'll tell you what, on the football field, what he's done, though, is he's put a premium on linemen, winning the line of scrimmage, the offensive line, the defensive line. This is where these games are won and lost for the most part here in the SEC. And I tell you, he has totally accomplished that mission. This offensive line was tremendous this year. Just think about Jamari Sawyer. He took care of Aiden Hutchinson in the semifinal game. And then he started at left tackle against Alabama, working on Will Anderson. Alabama moved Anderson in third down situations over the right guard, which was a backup player filling in for an injured player. And so what did Georgia do? Matt Luke, the offensive line coach, they moved Sawyer to right guard, which is where he's going to play at the next level. He's going to be an offensive guard. Just things like that, winning the line of scrimmage, being solid on the offensive line and defensive line. The recruiting obviously is big. Kirby, before he took the job, as I understood it, asked questions about what kind of support staff would he be able to have as far as recruiting these analysts that are now all over these staffs, and he was promised that he would have everything he wanted, everything he needed to win a championship.
Well, he got it, and they got that ring, they got that trophy. Buck Ballew joining us this morning on the show. He was the starting quarterback on the last Georgia Bulldogs national championship team. We're on in Eugene and across the great state of Oregon, and so they're excited about getting Dan Lanning, the defensive coordinator of that Georgia Bulldogs team. And you just mentioned some of the adjustments they made after that SEC title game embarrassment. It's a big loss for Georgia, but what type of fingerprint did Dan Lanning have on the national championship season and that incredible effort from their defense against Bryce Young and company on Monday night?
Well, Dan Lanning is he's something special. And I tell you, I'm a little hesitant to give out the term players coach, but you know, people think, well, he's soft and on the players. Well, that's not the case. He communicates so well with these teenagers, these young men, whether it's on the recruiting trail, selling the program, or whether it's on the practice field, the game time. I mean, here's a well-rounded football coach that has worked underneath a lot of the outstanding coaches in the game now, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, just mentioning two of them. I'm just concerned about the fit at Oregon. This is going to be a culture change for him going from the deep south up to the upper northwest. But I'll tell you what, they've got him an outstanding coach there. And as fate would have it, we've got our Chick-fil-A kickoff game here in Atlanta to start the 22 season. And Gary Stokin, who heads that up, just a genius move. He's got Oregon and Georgia matched up in the season opening game.
Uh-huh.
How cool is that? So what's your concerns about Lanning going from the Southeast to the Pac-12?
Well, look, I hadn't spent a lot of time out in Oregon, but it just seems to be the culture is so different. I'm not aware of him having a lot of contacts in the area. You know, your relationship with high school football coaches is so important. So he's going to have to hit the ground running out there.
Mm. Buck Ballew joins us this morning on the show. He was the starting quarterback of the 1980 Georgia Bulldogs National Championship team. So tell us what life is now like for Stetson Bennett the rest of the way. You're the only guy that can speak to this of what Bennett's existence is going to be like.
Well, we're thrilled to open up the quarterback club. And, you know, we're waiting. The fans here are waiting just to find out what his next move will be. Will he come back getting this extra year because of COVID? Will he move on? I read this morning he's got his eye on law school. So everybody's wondering what's going to be next for Stetson. I tell you what, he's going to play a lot of free golf here in the Deep South. There seems to be a Georgia guy that's a golf pro or a superintendent, just everywhere you go. So looking forward to playing a little golf with Stetson down the road.
Well, tell me about how fans still come up to, I'm sure, and, you know, just what life is like when you're a legend and you reside in that rarefied air of being the quarterback of a championship team, of a program that has such intense fandom and passion.
It's, you know, you just never anticipate these kind of things. And, you know, my mother, you know, she instilled in me back in high school when all this recruiting got started was, look, it doesn't cost anything to be nice to people. And so most of these people that approach me have a good story to tell about maybe the Georgia-Florida game, Run Lindsey Run, or maybe being at the national championship game against Notre Dame. You know, so I've really, you know, taken that to heart there and just really appreciate and enjoy interacting with all these Bulldog fans. And then, you know, being in high profile here in Atlanta doing sports talk radio for 20 years, that sort of kept the legend alive a little bit. Not that I'm talking about it a lot, but, you know, when you take calls, you know, people tend to bring that stuff up.
But you end up sharing your life with a lot of people because, as you said, they experienced it a certain way and they want to share those stories with you and they feel like they lived it with you. And so what you accomplished almost becomes communal, right? I mean, for 40 years, you've shared your life and experience with thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people that were strangers, but they feel like they know you because you did this and they were watching.
Yeah, it's unusual. You know, the family, they get a little tired of it. You know, the kids and my wife, lovely wife Kelly, I mean, they've been awesome. And, you know, they have a tendency when we head down, when somebody approaches and wants to tell a story, they've already heard all these stories about 20 times, DA. So, you know, they might wander off a little bit while I finish up the conversation. But, look, it's a blessing. It really is. You know, I love this state, love the program, and this is where I always wanted to be. So it's just such a blessing.
Buck Ballew was the quarterback of the last Georgia Bulldogs national championship team in 1980. He has been heard on the airwaves in Atlanta, 680 The Fan, for more than two decades. You can check him out there on 680 daily. You can also follow him on Twitter as well for his latest thoughts on college football and Atlanta sports, at BuckBallew8. Well, Buck, congratulations to your Bulldogs. It was cool to see them finally break through on Monday night. That was a fun game.
Yeah, it was, that Alabama hump was large, man. It was great to see them get over the hump.
Sure was. I appreciate the time this morning, bud. Thank you so much.
Thanks, DA. Keep up the good work, man.
Thank you. Buck Ballew joining us this morning on the program. It's something. It's something when these sports legends do something so dramatic and so memorable, and everybody wants to share their experience about it with that person. And so Stetson Bennett's going to be that guy. I mean, is it possible Georgia ends up stacking national championships and kind of like Alabama, that one of the guys along the way, the Mac Jones or the Greg McElroys or the you know, pick your guy. Who is the guy with the big tattoo? Anthony or AJ McCarron. Right? You might just end up being AJ McCarron if you end up winning 10 national championships. But you might end up being Buck Ballew, where you're the guy. You're Danny Werfel. Where the Gators still go back to 96 and Werfel's still the guy. And that's the guy, and that's always going to be the guy. And then if you're just the guy, you're a legend everywhere you go, and you share that with so many people. So Stetson Bennett, his life changed pretty dramatically. And he went from GOAT to hero with that one throw and the national championship. Standing by with your headlines is Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, what do you got?
DA, hello again. Headlines sponsored by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Everybody now has a loss in D1 men's college basketball.
8-7. He can't get free of Marcus. 5. Left wing. Flagler driving. Throws it out to Akinjo. He's going to shoot it up. Desperation. He missed it! Winner! 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 Number one, Red Raiders win it. The Bears have been trapped in their own house, and their 21-game win streak is done.
Jeff Haxton on the Texas Tech Radio Network. The Red Raiders, a 65-62 win at number one Baylor. Adonis Arms, our old friend from Winthrop.
Wow.
14 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists for Tech. Baylor's first loss followed number 5 USC's first L, 75-69. At Stanford, number 4, Auburn with an 81-77 win at number 24, Alabama. And number 18, Kentucky roughed up Vandy, 78-66. The Wildcats have won their last 11 meetings. Alabama receiver Jamison Williams reportedly suffered a torn left ACL Monday night against Georgia. We'll see how much this hurts Williams if he still declares for the NFL draft. Speaking of which, at least in terms of the NFL, get your sweatpants on. Bill O'Brien expected to interview for the Jaguars head coaching job tomorrow. Looking ahead to Wild Card Weekend, the Bucs have activated linebacker Shaq Barrett off their COVID list, but Richard Sherman is done for the year, returning to IR, still dealing with the calf issue. He ends up playing 5 games for Tampa. In the NBA, the Grizzlies down the Warriors 116-108 for a franchise record 10-game win streak. Klay Thompson scored 14 in his second game back for the Warriors. The Bulls hammered the Pistons 133-87. Chicago's won 10 of 11. The Suns snapped the Raptors' 6-game win streak 99-95 in Toronto. And the Pels won a shootout with the T-Wolves.
Pump fake. Bounce feed to Jonas. Up top, B.I. Straight away 3. Good!
Bucket! Bucket!
Good!
Rumble, young man!
3/10 of a second left. Inbound Beverly. Half court shot. No good. Ball game.
Not all heroes wear capes, my friend.
Little carried away. Todd Graffanini, John DeShazer, Pels Radio. Brandon Ingram, 10 points in the final 73 seconds. 31 total for a 128-125 win over Minnesota. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back on the show, we're going to be talking a little football coming up here next as we are joined by Charles Davis, the NFL on CBS analyst. He'll be in Buffalo for Patriots and Bills on Saturday night. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
I love the idea that he's not an offensive. He said it. I'm not a coordinator focused on the calling plays. I got my fingerprints on the team. Talking about as a special teams coach, you earn trust. You go to a wide receiver if somebody's hurt and you say you need him gunning on kick. He knows how to get a finger pulse to the team. And he's only 38, which means we're done with the changeover every 2 years. This is 20 years in the making of the head coach of the New York Giants.
Any worry that at 38 he's too inexperienced?
Inexperienced? That guy was born to be a coach.
Oh.
If he talked like that at 4 years old, he should coach a football team.
Okay. Nearly 2 years ago today, it was 2 years and 2 days, Mraz went on his pro Joe Judge rant, saying that the Giants had their answer for 20 years. More like 2. Welcome back. You can listen to us on your smart speaker. Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Our next guest is a friend of the show. He's going to be on the call for Bills and Patriots Saturday night in freezing, frigid Orchard Park, New York. It's in primetime on CBS. our pal Charles Davis. Charles, good morning. Hope you're going to be able to dress warm enough on Saturday.
Hey, DA, hope you're doing well. And I don't know that anyone can dress warm enough, but the Buffalo Mafia, they don't seem to care very much.
No.
And they figure it out. Now, us softies, and I include myself fully in that group, we've got to learn what their secrets are. But then again, I don't know that if I use some of their secrets, I could actually get on air.
Give me this secret. Do you guys open up the windows in the press box on a frigid night, or do you keep them closed?
Yeah. No, they're open because the noise has to equal, you know, what they call it, ambient noise or something like that.
Right.
It has to equal out to what we're broadcasting for it. Otherwise, it sounds like we're in a booth or, so you know, like a studio or something like that. So, yes, now we are covered, which is the beauty, right? We're covered on every side except the front. So as long as the wind doesn't shift things, if you have precipitation, right, and blow it in, then you know, you're in the same temperature. Don't get me wrong. It's the same temperature. But you're covered over the top and behind you. So our colleague Evan Washburn, he's not covered.
Right.
So he has zero, like when we talk about, boy, we, you know, can we get some heaters? And he's like, must be nice. You know? he's down there pulling the Bud Grant. No heaters, just having to endure the whole thing. You know, Ian and I are up there sending orders for, can we have a backup heater? Is there a generator to the backup heater? And can we go from there? So we're a little bit on the soft side.
You guys are burning trash and barrels inside that press box to make sure you keep
hey, in that temperature, don't put it past me if I have to.
So if it is in the single digits and it's slightly windy or what have you, do you think that's a significant advantage for one team or the other?
I don't think so, because we're not talking 50-mile-per-hour winds as we had in the first meeting. That became an advantage because New England embraced it and decided they were going to play to it. Buffalo, with Josh Allen's arm, like after, you know, before the second game, we did the second game. And I asked Devin McCourty, I said, hey, what, you know, that kind of wind, did it change how you covered? And he said, you know something? Once we saw Josh Allen throw in that wind, we said we've got to play it normal. He's not like your regular quarterback because that wind should affect him more than it does. But his ability to cut through made New England respect it. Now, Bill Belichick and crew, he and Josh McDaniels, you saw how they did it. They huddled beforehand. And remember, when they scored the first touchdown, there wasn't even a thought of kicking the extra point in that end of the field. Remember? They just said, we're going for two.
Yeah.
And they did it, and they played the game that way. All that being said, for all the kudos that they deserve for that, Buffalo was still in it. Buffalo's downfall in that game was red zone. They were 1 of 4 in the red zone for a touchdown and missed their other opportunities. Now, flip it around in New England without all of that wind, Josh Allen was a marvel. And, of course, Buffalo had something to prove. And Sean McDermott, he hit them in the pride area. You know that, DA. 222 yards rushing you give up? 222 yards rushing? They heard that for the entire week, and they were ready to go. So I don't think so, because last report I got, it may be like 3 degrees at kickoff, but the winds are going to be less than 10 miles per hour. That shouldn't be a big issue either way. Mac Jones should be able to handle that throwing too.
Charles Davis joins us. He, Ian Eagle, and Evan Washburn on the call on Saturday night from Buffalo Patriots and Bills on CBS. Kind of like the national championship game, I felt as though Georgia had to have worn the SEC title game to finally get over the Alabama hump. They had to know what it felt like this season. Do you think the same thing is in play for the Bills, where they have to wear that Monday night embarrassment to have come up with the effort that they did in Foxborough and then potentially help them in this playoff game?
Yes, absolutely, for what they had to deal with in Foxborough. DA, have you met a football person yet, especially a defensive person, that says, hey, if they throw the ball over our heads a few times and what have you, you can kind of handle that. But when they stick it down your throat running it, that can be mentally damaging.
Right.
That's what it's like. It's your psyche. And that's what Sean McDermott played into. We got to control the line of scrimmage, guys. We got to be the ones that start fast and punch first. I mean, I'm sure he used every boxing, wrestling, martial arts, street fighting analogy that he could come up with for that game, and his team responded accordingly. Now, because they did that, and they went there and got it done, I don't know that that holds true to do it again the same way. I think it's more, hey, guys, we saw what worked. Can we do that again? But to me, it's bigger than that now. To me, it's, guys, every time we think we're rid of New England and the specter and the psyche, they're right back at us, and people are bringing it up. If we take care of business this time and run the division truly for 2 years in a row, maybe we can have that tamp down where it's not a question next year. Mm. That's where I think they are, DA. Mm. I think that's what the point is. You know, it's the old Michael Corleone. Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. Mm. Every time they think they're past New England, they're staring at them one more time. Yeah. This is a big one right here.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Charles Davis joins us this morning on the show. We introed you by playing one of Mraz's rants from 2 years ago, fired up about Joe Judge. Joe Judge obviously is out. I'm wondering, on the one hand, it seemed like the Giants were getting worse as the season went on. On the other hand, it's hard to judge a guy who was down to his second and third string quarterbacks in the final month of the season. Do you think they were warranted in firing Joe Judge?
Unfortunately, I say yes, because I had high hopes for Joe Judge as well. I liked what he brought to the table. I liked the way he was approaching things. I thought the discipline factor, which could be an overused thing, as you and I both know, DA, where we go, discipline. Discipline doesn't always mean ranting and raving, okay? But I thought he was going to hold them accountable, do things the right way, et cetera. Well, we saw cracks in that as well. If you're a special team specialist, and your guy is doing the iron cross back there and doesn't realize the ball just bounced and stayed on the field of play, something's going way wrong. And I'm not saying that as the full judgment, right? Anything can happen. You can coach it a million times and something can go wrong. You and I know that, right? But where I think that Joe Judge fell off the map and why I say it's warranted have been his press conferences lately. Because a person with the plan about what he's planning to do is not looking to you and me, meaning media, for affirmation when he's making every statement. You make your statements and tell us what you're doing with your team, not such, right? Such, you got me? Such, you understand? No. You're the guy in charge. You tell us why this is working, why it's going this way. And I do believe there's an element for the Mara family that wanted to bring in a new GM, say, let's see if you guys can forge a relationship and see if we can go forward. I don't know that with these pressures down the stretch, DA, that any top-level GM is not going to come in and say to the Maras, I get where you would like me to do that. I don't know that that works. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think that that's where it was, because I liked what he was doing, but the justification of what he was trying to tell us, he was looking for us to affirm him. We're not the ones to affirm.
Right,
you got to affirm yourself and your program, and that's where it goes. And I have to admit, when you've only won, you know, whether they win four games, you can't run quarterback sneaks, and I don't care if it's your third string quarterback, you can't do that. It just, you know, everyone's just like, what?
Yeah, it's a surrender. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it just, I know what's going through his head. I kind of get it, which kind of scares me a little. But at the same time, you got to understand who you're playing to and playing for as well. And that, and let's face it, DA, I talked to someone who's with the organization. They said they drove in for the game last week. Says the saddest sight they'd seen in a long time.
Ooh.
Because that was an empty place.
Yeah. Hey, we got
that
about
never
a,
happened.
Got about a minute left with you. Did you think that the Dolphins made a mistake like many did by firing Brian Flores?
I was stunned when I saw it, because when they were 1-7, I thought it might happen, but the way that they finished, and I got tired of everyone going, well, they're beating bad teams. I was like, they are a bad team. Okay? They're 1-7. You can't jump on them for beating bad teams when they're 1-7. They're doing a heck of a job. And at one point late in the season, they were actually in the playoffs. So I thought that was pretty darn good. I still would like a fuller explanation as to what the disconnect is that the owner alluded to. Right? Where was that disconnect? Was it head coach GM? Was it head coach quarterback? Was it head coach owner? What was all of that? Because that team seemed to respond for a guy at 1-7 when they could have rolled over and died. Now, the one thing I will say, four different offense coordinators in 3 years, that didn't help his cause. But that team played hard for him, DA. You know, they sure could have cashed it in big time. I thought for sure he was going to get another bite at the apple. I was surprised. And to show how he's thought of, isn't he already interviewing for other head coach jobs?
Yeah, he's going to interview for multiple jobs, I'm sure.
Yeah, there needs to be a fuller explanation, not that Stephen Ross owes it to us, but I think we're all trying to wait and find out what leaks out of there about what really went wrong, because that sure looked like a team on the uptick. And Tua was a different player once he realized there was no Deshaun Watson coming to town.
Right. Charles Davis, Ian Eagle, Evan Washburn are on the call at a chilly Bills and Patriots game in Orchard Park on Saturday night. They'll have the garbage can burning trash in there. They're going to be freezing cold and calling the game for our purposes, and we're comfy on the couch, so make sure you tune in. That's going to be an awesome game. Can't wait to listen to you guys. Can't wait to watch the broadcast on CBS. CD, you're the man. You stay warm. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Appreciate it, Dia. What's that concert out west, the Burning Man?
Yeah, Burning Man.
If the heaters go out, I will
okay? Burn all those game notes. That'll keep you warm.
You take care. Tell the guys hi.
All right, thanks. Charles Davis joining us this morning on the show. As I mentioned yesterday, I think Brian Flores got the zig because he and Chris Greer, the GM, would clash quite a bit. And I think that Flores is intense, he's confrontational, and he's impatient. And that's how you race through three OCs in 3 years. And I think assistant coaches could get burned out, and I think people around him got burned out. I think players got burned out. And it's a risk because, yes, those things make life uncomfortable when you're working in it. The risk, though, is they were winning football games. They were 10-6 last year. They were 9-8 this year. The bulk of their losses happened when Tua was injured or Tua was coming back from the injury. So while you want everything to be hunky-dory and comfortable, are you sure you could find comfortable and the wins that Brian Flores were bringing? When we come back here on the show, the Giants have fired Joe Judge. Who's got the worst situation of the openings?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.